today on Real Radio.
We suffer, you and I, so much because we don't ask him, don't indict yourself by raising your hand, but how many of us today got out of bed and let our feet hit the ground before we asked God to baptize us with the power of the Holy Spirit?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16 is a section that provides valuable insight into the various gifts believers have received and exercised for Messiah's glory, and their functions and purposes for the edification of his followers. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called United in the Gifts.
We're talking about tribulation saints, believers that are yet to come. But the whole context is people, the Great Tribulation period. 3.5 years into the Great Tribulation period, 1,260 days from the signing of the peace treaty, that's a 7-year treaty, probably, who knows, maybe on the White House lawn soon to come. It's going to be a situation like that, I mean that seriously, where all the cameras will be there, CNN, everyone will be there. And there'll be a 7-year treaty signed. By the way, that starts the 7-year tribulation, according to the Bible. The moment they sign that treaty, the 7-year clock begins. And the first 3.5 years is a time of very, very wicked, horrible judgment via prosperity and peace. So don't let that fool you. God will send them strong delusion, those of the world. And the Bible says the Antichrist will destroy many by prosperity and peace during that first 3.5 years. And at that 3.5 year period of time, the scripture says that he will cause the daily animal sacrifices to cease in Jerusalem. And I'm sure all the animal activists will go, all right! And then Jesus made reference to when you see that, you come down from your housetop and you flee. You run, you don't go back in, you run. When you see what is called the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, then it says that those who know their God shall carry out great exploits, supernatural faith, the gift of faith. That's going to be an exciting time for our future brothers and sisters of that time coming. In Matthew 17:20, Jesus said, because of your unbelief. He said to the people, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, be removed. But he says there in the beginning, because of your unbelief, no work could be done. Unbelief is the exact opposite of having that faith. Having the belief and the trust that God might want to do something radical. Unbelief. The word unbelief is a negative faith. Isn't that funny? To have a negative faith. Unbelief. To have a cynical, willful denial of God's faithfulness. It's another definition of it. Unbelief. To have a cynical, willful denial of God's faithfulness. Doesn't that sound almost criminal? And I think it is. To have a cynical view of God. I don't think he can. I don't think he would do this for us or whatever it might be. An example of this special faith found in Joshua chapter 10. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of all Israel, can you imagine saying this? Son, stand still. He's not talking to his kid. Joshua looks up at the sky and he realizes, man, we've need more daylight to whip these guys. The situation was a crisis opportunity. Are you with me, everyone? Joshua cries out, and he says, "Sun, stand still. Moon, don't move." Now, if you read that, that kind of cracks me up. Moon, he says, and the moon didn't stand, the moon didn't move. Well, you don't have the sun and the moon together. And I don't want to get into the scientific thing of this, but it's an actual fact that at one point in time in human history, the sun and the moon stood still over their respected areas. It's recorded in ancient history worldwide. So man, I mean, sun stands still, and the moon goes, "Aah!" And the sun stays up, everything stops. Supernatural faith. That's radical. You want to hang out with guys like that? You think they're boring to be around? Come on, let's go see. See what? You know, whatever it is, it's like radical. No, we can't do that. Hey, maybe God wants us to go over there. We're so protective, you know. I know why we're so protective. It's not because we might get hurt. You know, the older you get, the more, let's try it, you know. Let's try driving without our seatbelts or something, you know. You know why we don't try things? We might look stupid. Nah, I can't do that. I look like an idiot. We already look like idiots. I don't know. You know, what if it doesn't happen? Man, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But at least we can. You know, can you imagine standing before God? You tried everything that you felt he was prompting you to do. Lord, I feel like you're leading me in this. I ask you to just show me if this is your will. And Father, if you're in it, bless it. If not, shut it down, stop it. And you go over there and you try that thing and it doesn't happen. It doesn't work. You stand before God in the end and you're going to walk up there before the Lord and he's going to go, "This is the guy. That's the guy. You know this guy coming up here? He thought I was speaking to him in anything and everything. This guy." And you stand there, and God just goes, "You know what? You just blessed me big. You blew me away." And you tried 10 things. 8 of them I was talking to you about, and you accomplished 8 of the 10 things that you... you know, embarked upon. I asked you to do the 8. You did the 10. And you know what? You get an A+ for being wrong even on the 2 other things because you were so willing to hear from me. And then there's those that will come up and say, "I'm here." And it's like, "You know what? I'm so glad you're here. Come into heaven and that's cool and all that stuff. But you didn't do a thing I told you because you needed the sun to move here and this to stand still. And you wouldn't jump out and try anything because you wouldn't take the risk. You wouldn't take the chance. And you didn't do anything. You tried to protect your whole life, constantly, all the time, you didn't venture out at all. Didn't do a thing." "Well, I didn't want to look stupid, you know." You see angels going, "Boy, does he look stupid now." You know, that kind of thing. To be bold and to be radical for God, to ask him, would we dare as a church tonight, we're gonna, ask him, "Lord, will you baptize us with this gift of radical faith for you, with you, in you, to do crazy things for you? To do whatever you want to do. God, if you want us to go to the hill, we'll call up to the enemy. Let us know." "Well, can we do that?" "Yes." God could be in that. We have scriptural evidence. 2 Kings chapter 6. "And the sons of the prophets said to Elijah," I like this story, "see now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan River and let every man take a beam from there and let us make there a place where we may dwell." Let's go down. Look, it's too small. It's, the school is being blessed. He had a school going and it's just too much. So let's go get some wood down by the Jordan River. We'll build a bigger place. That's a good idea. So he answered, I love this, "Go." Then one said, "Please consent to go with your servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head of his axe fell into the water, and he cried out, I love this, "Alas, my master, I borrowed that thing." Isn't that great? Splash. Elijah, I borrowed that stupid axe hand. Oh, no. Isn't that great? It's so precious. I borrowed that thing. That was a borrowed axe head. He borrowed, what it's implied is he borrowed a man's livelihood. It's like if, you know, if you're a UPS driver and the guy borrows your truck and he destroys it, what are you going to do? I borrowed this guy's axe head. We're in deep trouble now. I got to take this thing back. I don't even have it. And look what Elijah does. Now, this is insanely wonderful. And Elijah goes, well, where'd it fall? And he showed him the place. So he's pointing to the water. So he cut off a stick and he threw it in there. And he made the iron to float. That's great. Where'd you dump it? Right there. Gets a stick. Little, you know, like a little chemistry experiment. Throws a stick in the water and whoop. Okay, you can get it. And the guy grabs it. Goes back to work. That's supernatural faith. We begin to think maybe, you know, it's so radical that maybe God was just talking to Elijah. And Elijah's standing there and God, you know, throw a stick into the water. Okay. It didn't happen that way. See, we think it did. It didn't happen like that. These men heard from God in impulses and in promptings upon their hearts. Supernatural faith. And I want you guys to do an experiment. Seriously. An experiment on hearing God's voice. Now look, there's just a few of you here tonight. You can do this experiment and make everybody on Sunday jealous because they were not here. You ask the Lord, Lord, I want to venture out trusting in you. Speak to me. And when I hear that still small prompt of a voice, he speaks so softly. I was going to say he carries a little stick. But he speaks so soft that sometimes you can't even discern if it's him, maybe it was me. He'll speak in your heart and mind using your voice. And you say, well, how am I going to know if it's him? Because number one, you know what? You'll be, listen, this simple. You will be impressed. Because God, when he speaks the word of God. And you'll go, wow, that's a great verse for my question. That's a great verse for my situation. Listen, that was not you speaking to you, nor was it Satan speaking to you. God is speaking to you. Yes, sad to say, it's almost heresy, but turn off the radio. Turn off the CD. Turn off the TV. Go sit out in the backyard or sit under a tree. I had a doctor tell me a long time ago, I was like freaking out. This was years ago, I had like my heart was going nuts under all kinds of stress. And I went to my doctor and he put me on treadmill stuff and all that. And he goes, well, you're fine. He goes, you know what your problem is? Well, no, tell me. He says, do you have any trees around the park anywhere? I go, yeah, there's trees at our house. He goes, then start sitting underneath them. That's what my doctor said. He goes, start sitting underneath the tree. Listen to the wind go through the leaves. That's my prescription. Try that. You'll find out it's one of the hardest things in the world to do. You even take your beeper with you to make you feel a little bit better out there. Get rid of it all. You see, we are dying like the church at Sardis because we're so busy. We're even busy doing Christian things. But we're not hearing from him anymore. We can't even be preoccupied with this wonderful thought of having radical faith for God and seeking the gift of faith from God because our faith is drowning as it is, just our saving faith. We're in the last days. These are perilous times. So how do you know? You ask. You ask. That's how James says you don't have a thing because you've even asked of God a thing. You haven't even asked him. Ask him. We suffer, you and I, so much because we don't ask him. Don't indict yourself by raising your hand, but how many of us today got out of bed and let our feet hit the ground before we asked God to baptize us with the power of the Holy Spirit? And then around 2 o'clock, the world was caving in, and we wondered why. I think it's exam time's all over now, right? Finals are gone by now, right? There's nobody doing finals, I wouldn't think, now. Imagine being a student and saying, Lord, James says to ask for wisdom. I need it, and I need it now. Help me. Pray before the test. Pray before the service. Pray before the job. Ask God to bless. Ask him to give you super faith. And I want to end with a wonderful story. Oh, no. Before I give you this wonderful story, I still have 6 minutes. A couple New Testament examples of radical faith, the gift of faith. Mark chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. It says, then they came to him, bringing a paralytic. They came to Jesus bringing a paralytic who was carried by 4 men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And so when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was laying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, we don't even know if he had any faith, that guy, son, your sins are forgiven you. And Jesus heals him. Jesus saw radical faith that crawled up on top of a roof and broke up the roof and let their buddy down in the middle. Luke chapter 7, verse 6, then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent his friends to Jesus, saying to Jesus, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should come and enter into my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority. It's amazing. This man equates himself to Jesus in the way of authority. You just say the word because I'm a man of authority like you are. He says, if I say go, somebody goes. And if when I say you come here, somebody comes here. And when I say to someone you do this, that person does it. And I know, Jesus, you can do the same thing. I've heard about you. I know what you do. So you just say the word. You don't even have to come to my house. You just say it. And I know that you're a man of authority, Jesus, and that servant back home will be healed. And Jesus turns around, it says, and he looks at everybody else and he says, I haven't even seen this kind of faith in Israel. This guy's a Gentile centurion Roman guard. Jesus says, I have not seen, oh, such great faith as this. Supernatural faith. Radical. To do radical exploits. And then here's the story I wanted to tell you. A true story. By a friend of ours of the faith, George Mueller. George Mueller was a very quiet man, and he wrote a book. You can buy it. If we don't have it at the bookstore, order it. 3,000 words in that book of the exploits of faith in his life. And in the late 1800s, Mueller lived in Bristol, England. He was a man of faith, known to be a man of faith. He cared for over 10,000 orphans in his lifetime, loved orphaned children. And I want to read this to you. It says, well, once on a Saturday morning, Mueller brought his staff in and said, we have nothing to feed the children, nothing at all. But God has everything we need, so we will trust in our God. Mueller then commanded that the children be sat down at the breakfast tables. Quote, let's give our God thanks for the food that we are about to receive. Would you do that? Would I do that? And so he prayed, Lord, we thank you now for all that you do for us because you are good. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, amen. And at the amen came a knock at the door. It was the town baker. He said, Pastor Mueller, God forbade me sleep this night by causing me to stay up and to have pleasure at baking. Mr. Mueller, I do hope that you are able to use these many loaves of bread and cakes that I have prepared for seemingly no reason at all. Just then, another knock was heard at the door. It was the milk wagon, the driver, which had a lost wheel directly in front of Mr. Mueller's orphanage. Dear sir, I do apologize for the intrusion, but my wagon has lost a wheel due to the overload of milk I am now carrying. It will spoil if it is not used soon. I must leave it here, hoping that you can make use of it. At the age of 70, Mueller was crossing the Atlantic on a steamship to speak at a missionary conference convention in Canada for Christian workers when a dense fog settled in upon the steamliner. The ship came to a halt in the sea. Captain, sir, said Mueller, I must be quick to Quebec. On Saturday, I must speak. Mr. Mueller, it's already Wednesday and we are not moving. You will not be in Quebec, I'm sure, on Saturday. Captain, sir, this is great. If this ship cannot take me there, God will find me other means by which I may keep my appointment. Now, just about then, knowing Mueller, I would have looked for a great whale. Let's go below and pray on our knees. They went down below. Dear Lord, this is your appointment. I am asking you to lift this fog in Jesus' name. Amen. Just then, the captain began to pray, and Mueller stopped him and said, Let's look, let's see, because I believe the Lord has cleared the sky. Can you imagine? You go to pray. Don't even pray. Isn't that great? Don't just hold your breath. Let's go up top and see what happens. George Mueller made it to Quebec and spoke to the masses on Saturday, on that day in Canada.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a series of studies called United in the Gifts. This is an in-depth examination of Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16, and of course other biblical passages that speak of the various gifts believers have received and exercise. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, this entire series is now available to you on MP3 CD. That includes portions we haven't yet heard here on Real Radio. Pastor Jack's United in the Gifts on MP3 CD. And we're also including R.A. Torrey's classic book, The Baptism with the Holy Spirit. The Baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, these tools combined are valuable and insightful and are likely to answer every question you have on the topic of the Trinity's third person and his work. Of course, there's more than one way to get in touch. RealRadioactive.org, RealRadioactive.org, or you can call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Radio. And finally, our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all this contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.